Welcome to Agents of Smooch.
Our agents are doing a slightly different kind of mission today. We've joked about it in other episodes, and we are going to lovingly talk about the stuff that we like today, fiber arts. So knitting, but also there can be other weaving, crocheting. I can't think of, you know, other fiber arts that we might discuss. Who knows? We're totally going to wing this and see what happens. So bring us your sweaters and your cardies, your scarves and your mittens. Let's talk about our favorite pop culture related knitting and crocheting. Some of us are skilled in the arts of knitting and crocheting. Some of us are admirers, but we are all united with our love of yarn. I am director Annette Weirstra, and for today's mission, I am joined by agent Amanda Prescott. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, everyone.
You said you were a knitter, and you are currently knitting a sweater?
Yes, attempting to knit a sweater. It was like one of those, like, my first sweater things, because, trust me, I can't. The whole thing is variations of stockinette. I'm like, good.
Classic.
A classic. It will
there
be fine.
Is nothing wrong with a good old stockinette stitch.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Stockinette and a couple decreases here and there, that way I don't have to, like, or increases, that way I don't have to, like, really think about it. It's just, like, good to, yeah. Like, it's good to, because I like to knit in the wintertime, so that way, like, I can just watch whatever on Netflix and knit, so that's perfect.
Yes.
Think about it.
Yes. We also have with us agent Erica Ensign, who Hello. I also have seen knitting.
I guess. Yeah, you said, and I quote, some of us are skilled in the arts of knitting. I'm going to say, I knit, but I would not call myself skilled. I'm knitting something. It's not even stockinette stitch. It is garter all the way through.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And so for those of you who are admirers of knitting, we can explain the difference between garter and stockinette, but I think we're just going to let you do your own research.
Well, I will say garter stitch is literally the exact same yes. motion over and over and over again. You never change it. So that's my skill level.
Yeah, stockinette involves knitting and purling. Yeah. So anyways, we won't get too technical in our knitting terms here. But we also have agent Kelly Gumont, and she is a knitter and a crocheter.
I am. And I'm looking forward to all of the discussion, mostly because I spend a lot more time crocheting than I do knitting, and maybe this will finally be the thing that convinces me I have enough knitting skill to make a sweater. The thing that I have knit, my first knitting project was a Harry Potter house scarf, and I didn't think about it at the time, but signed up for, first the thing you do is buy 1,000 yards of yarn, which I did, and then yes. I did finish it. I will say that I did finish it. But the thing that I have knit the most is I have a pattern for a dishcloth with the Starfleet logo. So nice. Because I'm that nerdy. And so that, like, I've knit that a bunch of times. I'm sort of trying to build up the nerve to actually make a sweater or something else that somebody could wear.
I did learn to crochet first.
There's always the debate of whether what is easier. And mm-hmm. I think it's the first thing that you've learned is easier.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting, because I found that crochet was easier to learn, but knitting was easier to be good at, because tension is so much more important with crochet than with knitting.
Yeah.
So I thought, like, learning how to do the hook thing, like, that was much easier than learning how to do, like, the two needle thing with knitting. But then once I started actually, like, knitting, I was like, oh, crochet is way harder to be
consistent. I think it's consistency, because, like, crocheting is way more forgiving if you do that stitch the wrong way, but you do it from the minute you start to the minute you finish, you still have a project and it still looks fine. And with knitting, if you get it wrong, you have spaghetti at the end.
I am the opposite of Kelly, and I started knitting when I was like seven or eight with my mom, and did little projects on and off. Mm-hmm. I tried probably a dozen times to try and crochet. I could crochet a chain, could not get my head around it for the life of me. And eventually just sheer persistence, I figured it out, knit like granny square afghan, which is sort of my goal. And I'm like, oh, it's just so much harder to me because my muscle memory, everything I know about knitting is so innate. Whereas crocheting is like, it's just, don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, I felt better learning to crochet first because I'd already figured out, like, you have to hold yarn and use one stick. And so going from one stick to two sticks felt much easier to do because I didn't have to learn how to hold the yarn and get tension and all that kind of stuff at the same time as right. manage a stick in each hand. So for me, it felt a lot easier. So
it's so funny.
Awesome.
My grandma taught me how to knit, but she forgot to taught me how to purl for many years.
Oh no!
I love it.
So I got so good at that that my first actual project was one of those the Doctor Who scarf, because the whole thing is just knitting.
There's no purling in that one.
That's no exactly what I'm in the middle of.
Because I was unemployed, I knitted it in 68 days.
Oh, the dang.
Whole length?
Holy. Which pattern?
The whole length.
Wow.
Well, yeah, which season?
That is a good question, because I grabbed, like, whatever was on Google, like, probably 14. Okay. It's about...
I kind of don't care which pattern. You knit a scarf in 2 months, and I'm really impressed with that, regardless of, like,
let
wow.
alone 20 feet of it.
No, it's not set unemployed, because I can't do that now.
Oh, no, no. But at all, like, it's done. I know a lot of people who have started a Doctor Who scarf, and, you know, which pattern and all of that is a discussion for a completely different podcast that Erica probably hosts. But it's definitely, like, for any of them to be done, like, I know a lot of people who've started, but I think, Amanda, you may be the first person I know who finished one.
Yeah, I mean, some of, and, like, the fact that it's not just any scarf, but a Doctor Who scarf, like, you know, one of the patterns is, like, you know, 14 feet long, one of them is 22 feet long, like, that's...
Yeah, mine's probably 12.
Huge.
I think I used one of, well, they're not around anymore, the Witty Little Knitter patterns that were around, like...
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
8, 9, 10 years ago, yeah, because... that website is now done and dusted, so I'm sure there's other patterns out there I want to try it again. I don't think I want to try it again.
DoctorWhoScarf.com has many patterns. That's where I got the one that I'm working on now for season 18, and where I did the season 12 scarf for my mom. That's actually why I learned to knit. It was because I wanted to make my mom, the biggest Doctor Who fan I know, season 12 Doctor Who scarf, and I learned to knit
So
I could do that.
That's so awesome.
That's love is what that it is, because that's a long scarf.
It took me a year, though, because, well, I was working at a call center where you could, like, do stuff in between calls, like read or whatever, but instead of reading, I knitted. So on a year's worth of answering calls and not answering calls. Well, I mean, I answered all the calls I was supposed to answer. I would like to make that very clear, but I knitted in between.
I think that leads us, like, right into, because when we've put a list together of, like, knitwear that we like and admire, and we have a long list of Doctor Who items. So let's start, since we've already, like, the scarf. I think if you're not familiar with Doctor Who, it's like the scarf. I think even if you're not familiar with it, you probably still know the scarf from the fourth Doctor.
You don't know that you know, but you know.
You do, yeah.
Yeah. You may not realize it, but absolutely, yeah.
So, let's start with Doctor Who and some of our favorite knits. And for our listeners, we will try to put some links to images, tweets, things, so that when you're looking, you can click and look at the things we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And I promise not to go into ridiculous detail about the Doctor Who scarf, because I don't even know it as well as some of my friends do.
That's why I signed up, Erica, was to get a crash course in Doctor
Who's scarf. We're just here to talk about one scarf. That's it.
There are particular episodes where, like, part of it got burned, and then they had to, like, cut out those couple of stripes, so it got shorter between this episode and that episode. Like, we don't need to go that deep dive, guys.
I feel like that is good content there, right there.
That's what I love about the scarf, the actual on-screen scarf, is that it's got its own crazy history just like everything, like just like the show does, and like, you know, the characters on the show and everything. I sort of like that this is just like any character on the show, the history of this particular thing is very complicated and sort of weird, and that's one thing I appreciate about it.
I can't remember if, and maybe Amanda, you know this, that one of the two different, like, typical, you've got your regular, the Doctor Who scarf that was first, which is the one that most people recognize, and then in season 18, there's the scarf that's more red and orange and purple, and I think it was the season 18 scarf where they gave all of this yarn to this woman and said, yeah, we'd like a Doctor Who scarf, so similar to the previous one, but we wanted it to be these colors, and they gave her the yarn, and they didn't give her any other specifics, so she just kept knitting and knitting until she ran out of yarn.
Until she used all the yarn they gave
her. Yes, which is why that's, it's 22 feet long.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's that one.
Yeah, it's the Shada scarf. That one's, like, ridiculous, and it was made out of, like, chenille, which, of course, how 70s.
Oh, man.
Yep.
How 70s, because I think people have tried to make it now, and they don't sell chenille that long, or, like, the color, they can never find the color, and it is cute. I feel like 22 feet long, like, that's a lot.
It's ridiculous. And I started blogging, I want to say it was like 2011 or something. And my idea with this blog was that I was going to watch Doctor Who and geeky things, and I would knit while I watched it. And then I would post updates on the season 18 scarf. Like, that's what I was doing. And also, you know, review whatever geeky stuff I was watching. And that was 2011, and it's now 2021, and I am still only 3/4 of the way through that scarf. I let it sit a lot, but yeah, I did. When I ordered, this was back in 2011, when I decided I wanted to do this, they had already discontinued the chenille colors that were recommended on the Doctor Who scarf website that I was using at the time. So I managed to go on eBay and find the exact, like, all of the same dye lot of the colors that I wanted, even though they were technically out of print at that time. So I am now hoping against hope that when I get to the end of the 22 feet of this scarf, I don't run out of yarn, because if I do, I'm hooped. Because it literally no longer exists, that chenille.
For me, one of the other things that I think of Doctor Who is Amy Pond's red scarf, which I actually have a pattern for and would like to knit. So going into the modern era, that red lace, the lace one especially.
Yeah.
I've made that one, actually.
Yeah, it's so pretty.
Really? So crazy. Again, this was back when, like, kind of like at times unemployed. So, like, it is a... the lacing is really pretty. It's just that it's very intricate. But yeah, once you get the hang of the, like, repeat, because it repeats in a big section. So once you memorize that, it, like, gets a lot easier. Trust me, it curls up on the screen, but when you fold it out, it's a really pretty, like, rose pattern. Yeah, actually, Amy has two red scarves. The one we're referring to, the lace one, that's from Vincent and the Doctor. The other one is the Pandorica Opens one, which I've also made. That one's just a big, giant cable, so it's much easier to, like, do. I love the big red cable. I just haven't worn it recently, but it's just so thick and fun.
I'm looking at the picture, and I like the gloves, too.
Yes. Yeah, I've never made the gloves. Because I tend to lose gloves, so, like, I don't make them.
If you make them for yourself, you can put the string on between them and start it through your coat, like I used to do in kindergarten.
Oh, there you go.
Oh my gosh.
Classic.
I'd just be so mad if I lose things I make.
Yeah. I like knitting lace, but I think, Amanda, the key is exactly what you said, is, like, lace is really hard to set up, and then once you get the pattern... So it's really fun. It's a pain.
Yeah, I think somebody on Etsy kind of figured it out. I you know, there are folks who figure out, like, what they're wearing on Doctor Who, but, like, the people who figure out, like, what type of knitting or something is used, is, like, those folks blow my mind.
Mm-hmm. I'm always impressed. Oh, that's a blah blah stitch, and it's, you know, probably this kind of yarn, and I'm like, wow. I'm always so impressed when somebody can do that. Yeah.
And there's also a third Amy Pond scarf. It's just not red at all, though. It's the one she wore Night Terrors. It's basically...
I love this.
That one, basically, It was from, it was not hand knitted. It was from this Swedish brand named called Noah Noah. But it's basically, not black, sorry, black, a hint of green and some blue, but striped. It's really pretty.
It is really pretty.
That one, I actually own the original. I found one of the originals, like, ooh, by pure chance. Because here's the thing with Doctor Who stuff. Like, if you find the same thing they found in the show, like, a lot of times, like, there's a whole, like, cosplay Hunger Games for finding these things. So, like, someone who's trying to, you know, I guess, well, I paid a rent, let me just get rid of this thing, and I got it. And so I got it for, like, not a lot of money, but I've seen auctions on those go for, like, as high as, like, $200. Just wild.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You could knit it yourself. It's just it would take a very long time because since it was machine knit, it's the really, really small stitches.
Yeah.
But it's a big, like, stripe. So I'm sure somebody, I'm sure there's on Etsy, somebody already figured it out how to do it.
Speaking of machine knit and Doctor Who scarves, I don't know if this is on the list or not, but when Jodie Whittaker was announced as the 13th Doctor.
Oh, that one I forgot to put in.
That scarf, it's actually a Paul Smith machine knit scarf. As soon as that was like announced and we figured out where it was from, I actually like splashed out, spent the money to buy one and have it imported from the UK to Canada to give to my spouse, Steven. Aww. So he has the actual Paul Smith Jodie Whittaker scarf, and it is like a prized possession. Because that thing was not cheap. Paul Smith is not a cheap brand. This was a splurge purchase.
I am jealous because I've seen it.
Me too.
And it's super jealous because it's so pretty.
I have it, actually.
Yeah.
Isn't it great?
It's great, but look, how I got mine was that in New York, we have a store for Paul Smith. So when I went in, they had the, like, wrong color version. I bought it, and I asked the lady, showed her, like, the pic from Google. I was like, listen, do you have any more of those? And she said, actually, we do. You just have to get it sent from England. So they handle the, like, getting it from England part. And they were like, well, yeah, since you order it from us, it's just free shipping to your house. I was like, she said it was taking, like, a couple days longer. I was like, thank goodness. Like, that's how I got mine. Because, trust me, every time they pop up, it's just crazy.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so soft, though. Like, actually, I put it to the dry cleaners just because, like, it got a little, you know.
And I just love the idea of it being, because inevitably you put a scarf on a doctor, it's a callback to the original long scarf.
Oh, sure.
But doing it in, like, a modern way with the rainbow, which really speaks to, like, the way they're trying to be inclusive. And it's just good. You had a sweater you were talking about before the show too, Erica.
Yes. Okay. So there's two different sweaters. I'm not really a cosplayer because I'm incredibly lazy and don't want to do all of the work that is required to make myself look good. But when people ask me if you like had to cosplay something and you like, what would it be? And every single time I know what my answer is immediately, it is Leela's fisherman sweater from The Horror of Fang Rock. And it is a literal like fisherman sweater because she like took it from a fisherman. And it's basically like they show up and if you're not familiar with Doctor Who, Leela as a character is dressed in like these scanty leathers. It was not great, let's just say. So they show up in like this lighthouse and it's like foggy and cold and spooky, and that's not appropriate wear. So she changes her clothes and she takes a sweater from one of the fishermen that lives in the lighthouse, the lighthouse keeper. And it is this gorgeous knitted, like it comes down to like her mid thighs, and it's practically a sweater dress. She throws a belt around it. She just looks amazing. It's got kind of a high turtleneckish sort of collar, and it's just sort of like just gray and brown and very sort of drab looking, but on her it looks great, and it just looks so comfortable. Like I would be very happy to wander around a convention all day in that comfortable sweater with like I don't even remember what pants she's wearing, just something very functional, and I'm like, yep, that's what I would cosplay, Leela's sweater.
It or her is Fang Rock. So cozy looking though.
It is so
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And the other sweater I wanted to mention is it's Joe Grant, the Third Doctor's companion, has some amazing swinging like 60s, 70s outfits. But this is one that really doesn't fall into that category. It's a little bit more, I don't know, toned down. However, I actually had a sweater that looked basically exactly like this. And not because of this. I discovered after the fact that it was like was cosplaying Joe Grant without even knowing it. And it's just kind of a long sweater that's got sort of a purple and lighter purple horizontal stripes all the way up and down it. And I literally wore the sweater that I had. It was very cheaply made. It was machine knit. I bought it at some, you know, big department store. And eventually it got so thin you could literally see through it. So I had to stop wearing it. And I was very sad because I liked low-key cosplaying Joe Grant to work all the time.
Did you have like a big wide belt for that too?
I did not, but I every time wished I did because yeah. The belt that she wears is
it's awesome.
Quite a statement. It is quite a statement. Yeah, that's the in that particular outfit is the belt that's really sort of like the Joe Grant bit. The sweater itself is it's a little more low key than her huge.
That's so good.
It's so cool.
That's what I think of when I think of Doctor Who and knitwear is the scarves and then those two particular sweaters.
Kelly, are you, I can't remember if you watch Doctor Who or
oh,
not.
Oh, yes. You're yes.
Surrounded by all these Whovians.
Yes, I mostly it's the scarf, and part of the reason the scarf stands out to me is because that's the doctor that I was introduced to channel surfing as a kid mm-hmm. and found and it doesn't take long to channel surf when you only have four channels. And so one of them was public broadcasting, and public broadcasting was showing Doctor Who on weekday afternoons. And I went, like, there's this lunatic with a crazy hat and a giant scarf, and I kind of need to know more about what's happening here. And that was it. So the scarf is very, very memorable for that reason. So I always like to see, that's part of why I was so interested to find out later about all the history of it, you know, like it caught fire and we had to do this other thing. And there was the, you know, they gave her a bunch of yarn like for inspiration, and she just knit with it until she was out and handed it all back and said, well, here you go. And all of the pieces of history that go into that are super fun. And you can only do that with a show that's been around for like a super long time. But
yeah, I think one of them had a long version and a shorter version. So the longer version got used on video from when they were in the studio. And then the shorter version got used on film when
the
they were out.
Scarf.
Yeah, out filming on location because, you know, that thing could be dangerous.
Yeah, totally. You could kill someone with that scarf.
And did.
And maybe did, yeah.
Don't worry. That's spoilers for the Hand of Fear. Don't worry. It's the bad guy.
I also recall Amy and Rory's Christmas sweaters. Christmas sweaters could probably have a whole episode on their own, but they have really pretty classic Christmas sweaters at the end of one of the Christmas specials. And I would wear either of those.
They were nifty.
They were.
I have a confession to make. I used to hate knitwear. Like a lot.
You are kicked off the episode.
And honestly, like looking at it at the Christmas sweaters, like that reminds me of why when I was a kid, I just some of the sweaters that I had were, you know, intarsia or, you know, the different colored with patterns and stuff, and they tended to be very stiff and not comfortable, and I just mm-hmm. I hated them, and I hated having to wear them, and I didn't like what they looked like. So I honestly only kind of, like, you know, this is Smooch, we're talking about romance, I feel like I have been falling in love with knitwear only over the past several years. Like, honestly, and I know we're going to talk about Knives Out, and it was when people went bananas on social media for like the knitwear in Knives Out that I kind of started to reevaluate. And I was like, wait a minute, maybe sweaters aren't that bad. And I've had sweaters over the years that have been soft enough that I could wear and that I have liked, but I've never really thought about it since I, you know, got that shoved into my head that knitting is terrible and it looks bad and it's uncomfortable and it's scratchy and I don't like it. So I've fallen in love with knitwear more recently. So I can now look at this picture of Amy Pond in this Christmas sweater and go, I don't completely hate it.
Hey!
that's how I feel.
Note to self, don't make Erica a Christmas sweater.
Yeah, please don't.
It's funny you mentioned that because acrylic yarn and being very scratchy and very stiff and all of that is why I learned to crochet, because I have, my parents got divorced and remarried, so I have like not only bonus parents but bonus grandparents, and so I have a number of like knit and crocheted things that were given as gifts, and it sort of feels like the people who created these things bought all the yarn in the Western Hemisphere in like 1977. And that's the stash that we're working from to this day. And so I get thing, you know, we'll get a gift and, oh, that's very nice. And, you know, but it's avocado or it's harvest gold. And these are just not colors that are generally colors that I want for things like to coordinate with my kitchen or whatever. So I learned to crochet so that I could make my own towels with the crochet top so that you can button it to the oven handle or the fridge handle or whatever and it doesn't fall off. That's literally the thing I started out. Like, I want to learn to crochet so I can make my own out of towels that I like and colors that match the stuff that I have so that I have something that sort of coordinates. So, like, that was where my reevaluation came from, Erica, was like, maybe this isn't the worst thing, but, you know, because it comes in much more pleasant forms now than it did that I remember, you know, in my formative years.
Part of it comes from buying expensive yarn, and expensive yarn, even not expensive yarn, is still expensive. So,
Rose's Boontown scarf, and when Doctor Who first came back.
Yeah.
That one, that's actually knitted machine work from Free People, but of course, Free People always has this really distinctive, like, their machine knitwear is really distinctive. They use a lot of crazy colors and patterns, so, like, of course, people got obsessed with the scarf. You can't find it anymore, but, like, it was... Rose also paired it with it in a different way. Like, she paired it with a jeans jacket, which is, like, really? Like... But it works. Like, it's an unexpected pairing, but it works really well. And, of course, if you look at the picture, Rose has, like, some ancient Nokia phone. It's like, you forget. It's kind of like, it's one of those things, like, you kind of forget just how old New Who actually is. Cause
yeah.
the massive hoop earrings, the, like, and I think she's wearing, like, a mini skirt with this, too. It's like, that is out of fashion as well.
Classic.
Classic. Classic mid-2000s.
Yep.
Fun times.
So let's jump over to the sweater that shook the internet. Knives out. Because I don't think I've ever seen a sweater like steal the hearts of everyone everywhere so right. much. And like single-handedly bring back the cable knit sweater as Ransom's sweater in Knives Out.
It's quite the sweater, to be fair. Like, I mean, like as sweaters go.
But can we be real, though? It's like the sweater is great, but had it been somebody else wearing that sweater, we might not be talking about it the same way.
Only about 60 to maybe 75% of OMG that sweater actually has to do with the sweater.
I mean, I really feel like the yarn and knitting industry right now maybe owes a little bit of a debt of gratitude to Chris Evans and Ryan Johnson.
It's not a little debt. That's the only quibble I have with that statement is that it's not as small as you're making out. Yeah.
Well, and that sweater is like super classic cable knit sweater with lots and lots of texture. Cables are fun to knit, but they're kind of a pain in the butt because you have to move stitches around to create all the bumps. But I also remember, I think it would be like late 80s, early 90s where like that was super hot. I had like a long cable knit sweater I used to wear. I think they were like was it leggings or stirrup pants? I think it was leggings. Yes. I think it was not in the stirrup pant era. Don't go back to stirrup pants world. They were terrible.
I liked them.
I'm too tall. They were always the stirrup pants. They were always dragging the pants down.
Oh, I just bought the long ones. So
they like so yeah. So I'm like ugh. I love cable knits on sweaters. And so, yes, Chris Evans definitely enhances the sweater. But the sweater also enhances him.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's like a perfect marriage.
It is. Yeah, that one definitely. Well, and I think part of what I think I was sort of confused about it because, like, yes, it's fantastic. It's a wonderful look. But, like, the sweater itself is a pretty standard issue sweater, which I think was sort of what was funny about it. It was, like, all of a sudden everybody rediscovered, like, the giant cable knit sweater, which I thought was sort of funny about it. Like,
it's also fraying. Like, it is falling apart.
Yeah, it's not, like, it's not some fancy high-end thing that looks brand new and hardly ever worn or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's lived in. Yeah.
We also have to shout out Marta's scarf, which is long and colorful, much like a Doctor Who scarf. So yeah, and she's got a cute sweater and jacket combo, but it's like a super cozy looking, and it looks handmade, but it's hard to say because it's got like, it's more color blocked than striped, which is cool.
Oh yeah, I remember her scarf. Yeah, did she wear it a lot? Or
it's been a while since I've seen the movie,
because now that I see it, I'm like, oh yeah. But then I like, at the time, I don't remember being like, wow, look at that scarf.
I do. I remember thinking, I wonder if that's a subtle Doctor Who nod. Because of course, I think that, right? Every time, yeah, I see a long, colorful scarf,
yeah,
mm-hmm, it's just, it's built in. I know you do, you must do that too, Amanda, right?
Yes. I do that all the time. And like, sometimes I'm at the point now where like, I'm looking at things, I'm like, that's a this, that's a that, that's a, because, yeah. Like, I can pinpoint brands. I may not pinpoint seasons, I can definitely pinpoint brands when I see them.
Between the two of us, we could take over the world.
I'm convinced.
Yes. Yes, you could. I would buy into that. We also, I to go back to the cable knit sweater and the 90s, if you look at the Harry, when Harry met Sally, Harry wears that classic cable knit sweater. It's a little baggier than what Chris Evans is wearing, but it's a, again, there's that classic cable knit with the jeans. It's like so awesome. Mm-hmm. Meg Ryan also has a great cable knit sweater, but it's like red and fuzzy and
yeah, short. Hers looks way more comfortable, yeah, than his. Yeah, I think honestly that the sweater that he's wearing in When Harry Met Sally is like, that is the exact sweater that I hated so much. Like, it just, it looks stiff and uncomfortable, like the way that it is, it, like that it's lying, it's just, mm-hmm, oh, that does not look great. But then I look at hers and think, oh, that looks cozy, I wanted, like, you know, throw that on and snuggle in front of a fireplace or something.
Yeah, hers is a nice sweater, or at least it looks a lot softer and snugglier than what he's got on, for sure.
Sometimes soft can end up being scratchy too, though, like,
oh, yeah,
the itchy sweater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, itchy sweaters. That's the worst.
It all comes down to the yarn. Yep.
It 100% does. I think one of the other movies that came out around the same time as Knives Out, Little Women.
Oh, yeah.
They had some, going into the period pieces, they had some amazing knitwear. And there is someone who figured out patterns for the show, or to replicate some of them. Because when I watched the movie Little Women, which I really loved, and we did an episode about it way back in the beginning of our run, but the knitwear really caught my eye. There's some amazing scarves and some good gloves, the fingerless gloves. They all, like, they tend to have like those triangular shapes to them where they wrap around, and they would look really good under your coats and be warm, because I feel like wherever they were living on the East Coast there would be a cold, could get cold in the winter. So you need proper winter wear.
That does sound interesting. So are gloves hard to knit? Let's just, I've never done them.
I've never done a glove. I've done mittens, but gloves scare me.
Basically all the wearable stuff still scares me a little. So
I feel like I understand how they would be done, but it's like, it just seems like a lot of work to do the individual fingers.
I have the same thought.
I've done like the patterns always say fingerless gloves, but they're not. They're basically fingerless mittens, because there's no division at all. So I've done that a few times. And the pattern that I have used is it's one where you just knit it flat and then you stitch it up along the side, because I cannot knit in the round for the life of me. So it's maybe not the most comfortable, because you end up with a seam along the outside, oh, okay, of your hand. But if you have soft enough yarn, you don't notice it at all, and it just keeps you toasty. And I, for Christmas one year, from a coworker for a Secret Santa, she gave me yarn in the colors of the Edmonton Oilers, which is my hockey team. And yeah, so I knitted myself fingerless gloves that I wear at work when it gets too cold. And so I'm still able to type.
Welcome to Canada.
Yep. Thank you. Welcome to Canada. Here is your Oiler-themed yarn.
Go knit yourself some sweaters to, or some mittens to wear inside.
Yep.
No, not those. Those are my indoor mittens.
So what are some other pop culture knitwear art that you love?
Well, I'm cheating because I'm looking at your list.
my list that I compiled with a whole bunch of listeners. So thank you, listeners, yes, for sending us good sweater examples.
Yeah, and this one I want to, I can shout out Agent Riley Silverman, a friend to most of us, if not all of us. She pointed out the Mon Calamari fisherman from The Mandalorian. That's one of mine. And I have to say that, we have that sweater. Steven ordered it because somebody found it online to be ordered.
Oh my goodness.
And so he ordered it and it came in. It is a little bit smaller than he was hoping. So now it's sort of mine, but also sort of still Steven's. But yeah, so I can do a Mandalorian cosplay any day I want. It's great. It's not as soft and cozy as I was hoping, but I still think it's pretty cool.
Any cold day you want, because that looks like a whole lot of sweater.
Yeah, it is. Okay. It is definitely a sweatery sweater. Yep.
Yeah. That was one that was on my list. The house scarves in Harry Potter was one on my list as well. Partly because I made one, but also partly because they did sort of change over time. Like they are different in the earlier movies than in the later ones. And there's a variety of them, so you sort of get to take your pick of like the thing, which one it is that you want to knit. So I think I like those. And there's like the Christmas sweater that the Weasleys get every year from Mrs. Weasley. Like those are always in there. And that's always a nice moment. Like which one, like what awful lumpy thing is it going to be this year? Because they all sort of like begrudgingly like accept them every Christmas, which I always think is funny. But I'm also thinking like she has so many kids and that's a lot of sweaters and that's every year. Like
she's got magic knitting needles. We've seen them.
Yeah.
Like
when we saw those, then I was like, oh, now I understand where she has all the time to get all of her kids a sweater every Christmas.
Good.
So
grief.
It comes out to be I remember at the time being like,
otherwise impossible.
Yeah. I'm like, but sweaters take so long. And I was trying to, and then we saw that they were enchanted knitting needles. I'm like, oh yeah. Like if you can just decide like it should look like this and then, you know, the knitting needles take care of the rest of it. That seems like a pretty reasonable way to do it. I would like knitting needles like that.
So would I. Although, like, do I? Because the reason I knit is because I like knitting, but I would like to also knit faster and have, like, I'd like to have the option, I think. Mm-hmm. But I would still do it without magic knitting needles.
Oh, I would too. But it'd be nice, like, okay, this part that's just, you know, like the grunt work of it, like
yeah,
here I've done like half the sleeve, you can finish and then I'll do the other sleeve over here or something.
Can I just have a magic needle to weave in the ends for me?
Oh yes.
Good. Now that's witchcraft.
Definitely.
Right.
I have actually changed like taken color out or rearranged so that it's more color block instead of stripes, because if I do that there's less ends. I've actually done that. Okay. To a pattern. I'm not making it this way. That's too many ends.
I love pattern hacking. Because sometimes it's like, you like the shape of it, or you like what they did, but you don't like the colors they pick, or you don't like how it would like it, how it's worked up, and you're just like, you know what? I'm going to do this pattern and ignore half of it. I do that with sewing, too. It's like...
I am saluting you so hard right now because I admire that, because my not so secret for knitting and crocheting is that I have no idea what I'm doing. And I mean that in a way, like, not like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I literally don't understand what is happening to the yarn. I know how to move my hands. I know how to move the needles or the hook. And I know what it looks like when I'm done, but I don't have any kind of understanding of what is going on with the knot work. Like, you know, somebody can say, yeah, well, a purl is basically the reverse of a knit. I don't get that. So I cannot fix anything when it goes wrong. I can't adjust any patterns because I don't have the understanding. Even after doing it for, you know, a decade, I haven't been able to really develop like that piece of it. So when I hear somebody say, yeah, I'm going to hack the pattern and change things up, I'm like, you're a magician. You have magic powers. And I think you're great. Good for you. Because I can't.
I get that.
Yeah, I think I could do quite a bit, but that's like really, it's like decades of knitting. And when I did my master's, I'm such a knitting nerd, I wrote two papers about knitting and intercultural communication, and did research talking to women. Well, not talking to women in China, because we didn't share a language, but we did share a language in that we shared knitting. And so I'd hang out with them, and it was interesting how my understanding it changed my understanding of knitting, but also like I could look at their patterns and they could look at my, like my knitting and needles and everything. And we were doing the same thing. So we could talk about that without like by pointing and gesturing and pulling and, you know, without actually speaking the same language. So it was super interesting and so cool. And it was just one of my favorite things about doing my master's. And it was just...
That sounds like a lot of fun, actually. That would be a really interesting experience. Yeah.
It's like you're across the world and you can't speak the same language, but we did share knitting, which is a whole language of its own. Mm-hmm. And I think since then, I've gotten actually better about being able to look at what is happening in knitting and in a pattern. And it helped to advance my skills that way.
That's awesome. Wow. So I just need to go to China is what you're telling me.
Or, you know, anywhere where you could just like go someplace where you hang out with lots of knitters and just look at each other's knitting and see what they're doing.
I can with a crochet pattern, I can sit down and sort of sort it out and go, okay, well, this is how like each row fits together. So if I don't like it that way, I could change, you know, something about it. Or like I have sat down and made up, like, I have some extra cotton yarn here. I'm going to take a reasonable hook and I'm just going to sit down, sort of make up a dishcloth and figure out like how big it should be and kind of go from there and like do it on the fly. Which is nice when you have a cotton yarn habit, because a cotton yarn habit is a slightly less expensive habit because it's usually only a couple of dollars for a skein. But, I can sit down with that and just be like, I want something to do. So I'm just going to sit with this and make something up and have it work and hold together and be something you can, you know, put through the wash or whatever. But, with knitting patterns, I'm like you with knitting patterns, Erica. Like, I don't have any understanding of how everything fits together and how it all works. So I don't have any way to be like, well, if I was knitting this and I just did that instead of the other thing, then I would get this other thing and it would be great. Like, I have no concept of any of that when I look at a knitting pattern. Apparently I need to go with you on your trip to China is what I'm hearing.
I will take you on some, we should go on a knitting adventure.
That would be amazing.
That would be fun. There are places where I've been to Peru and they have amazing fiber art culture there too, where I would love to learn more from them.
Yeah. My mom used to to go on these trips, like giant month-long trips to go to all these different locations. And she said, we're on our trip this time, we're going to New Zealand. What do you want? I'm like, yarn. Bring me yarn. Local yarn.
Yeah.
All of the local yarn. Like, if the tag has the name of the sheep that it came from, so much the better. I want that yarn. So she found a yarn store and went and asked the lady in the yarn store. And she said she had a lovely conversation with the lady at the yarn shop. My mom is like the opposite of a yarn crafting person. So it was very interesting to hear her go, we had such a nice conversation. And she, you know, had this lovely chat and brought me back some yarn. And like, I have it. It's been a couple of years and I just haven't found like the project that's sort of worthy of my New Zealand yarn. So I haven't figured out what to do with it yet. Because like, also one of the things that's fun about making it for yourself is like sometimes the story of it. So, you know, I made this for this thing, or the yarn came from this trip I took to Canada, or, you know, whatever it is. And being able to have like a second, like as soon as you're done with the project, like even though that hat is a brand new thing or that sweater is a brand new thing, like it already has a history.
You know what? That you just reminded me that I actually went yarn shopping on my 30th birthday. and it was a terrible birthday. Like, it was really bad. Aww. I had there were no plans. I was dating a guy. Like, I went and he did nothing. I ended up not even seeing him the whole day. Anyway, that's a different story. But because I had really lovely coworkers, they were like, you know what? We are going to take you to, there's a really cool yarn store in like a small town that's south of Madison, which is where I lived. Ooh. At the time. So, and I'd been wanting to go for a while. So we went down and like we did some yarn shopping and they bought me some yarn and then went out for like pizza or whatever. And yeah, I still have that yarn. I actually, speaking of fingerless gloves / fingerless mittens, I wanted some actual fingerless gloves. And I was like, this is what I'm going to use. It was very small small weight yarn, like very, very thin, because I wanted some very thin fingerless gloves, actual gloves, like with the fingers and stuff. I'm like, I'm going to learn how to do this, and I'm going to use this really cool yarn, and it's going to inspire me. And I got up to like the second finger hole that I was starting to work on, and I was like, this is too hard. I cannot do it. It was just, it was not working. Oh. And I think I am now 44, I think, and that, like, I think that glove is still like partially made and just sitting in a bag somewhere, because it was really demoralizing. So I should just pull it out and use that yarn for something else, or ask somebody else to make me some fingerless gloves from it, because, like,
maybe
clearly
this
I can't.
Is my chance to try, Erica.
Yeah. There you go. It's great yarn. Super cute.
Yeah, I am for this plan.
Is this a new mission? It's my new mission.
It's a new mission. Yes.
Director Annette, if should you choose to accept this mission, I will be bringing you some yarn next Friday.
No pressure.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's been 14 years, so I'm going to give you 22 before I start to get upset.
Okay,
22 years
good.
Is what you got.
Or maybe I can do it for your by in time for your 50th birthday.
There we go. I love it.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been talking, and we have an episode coming up about fringe, and there is a hat, or a toque, I would call it. that Olivia, the main character, wears, that it's just a really simple black cable knit hat. And listener Katie Beth and I, who's going to be on our Fringe episode, we frequently talk about Fringe and Olivia's hat. It's so simple, but it's got a really nice, it's probably a quick knit because I think it's a pretty heavy yarn-ish.
You know, it's funny. I watched Fringe ages ago and I liked it, and I didn't have time to rewatch it in time to be on this episode with you guys, but I have seen Katie Beth tweeting about it, and she's tweeted about that hat several times, and it's funny because I never really paid any attention to it, but as soon as she tweeted about that hat, I was like, oh, I know exactly what hat she's talking about. Oh my God. So yeah, it was a really effective knit hat, because I was like, yep, okay, I'm on board.
Well, and it's like, in passing, you might actually just think it's just a, like, whatever knit hat. But when you've, you know, she wears it quite a lot because they're often in not super warm weather. And it's just got a really nice pattern of cables on it. And as I said, I am a cable fan. But the cables in black, too, is pretty sharp. Just, I do like it. I'm looking at it and going, like, it's a nice hat. And I know Katie Beth knit it. And I'm like, now maybe I need to knit one, too. So you can low-key... cosplay. This is all low-key cosplay efforts, right? So that's what it is.
Hats scare me with knitting, like circles, like
right.
The four corner thing, I'm like, no, I can't do it. This, like,
I can totally teach you how to knit in the round.
Yay.
Can you teach me?
Yes, I can. It's, in some ways, I actually will knit things on like circular needles. I hardly ever use the flat needles anymore.
I use my circulars 100% of the time, basically.
Yeah.
I just cannot actually make a circle. I just do flat knitting on circular needles.
The trick of the circle is, like, you have to connect it correctly.
Yeah, and that's what I can't do. Yeah.
Because you can twist it.
It always ends up loose and weird, and it's not good.
I'm trying to figure out what we're going to call the Inevitable Yarn podcast that comes out of this episode, because I'm trying to figure out what we would be agents of at that point. So, agents of Stitch? Like, I feel like that's where we're headed. And director Annette having a side hustle teaching people how to knit.
Well, I think Kelly and I, you and I have just joked about having a podcast where we just sit and hang out and knit.
I was not aware that we were kidding, that was the thing that was totally going to happen.
I know. I think we called it Knit and Shit.
Yeah, we did.
Beep. So Knit and Shit was the name of our podcast that we have not started yet, but sometime we'll just.
But it's clearly just a question of time.
Yeah, it is a question of time.
Because it was just sit and catch up on things, and like, we could do this, and we have episodes planned, if I recall. Yeah, that's one we could talk about. That's a good topic. Yeah, I think this episode of Agents of Smooch came out of that conversation. Look at all this other stuff we have to talk about too. Yeah,
I'm just seeing on our list that we have the dude, and he has a sweater that is very similar to the classic Cowichan sweater, which is comes from the coast of BC and the Salish Nation of Indigenous people. And they were super hot in the 80s.
Yeah, I was looking at this. I'm like, this looks very 80s.
Yeah, so, and the they still, like, but the, you can still get those sweaters and they hand make them in BC.
And what is that from?
The Big Lebowski. The sweater itself, this is one I actually know about, because the sweater itself is a Pendleton sweater. What he wears in the movie is an old Pendleton sweater. Pendleton Woolen Mills sweater. And I have family that lives in Pendleton, so, like, Pendleton stuff has been around my whole life. So when I saw that in the movie, I kind of went, that looks like a Pendleton sweater, and I sort of put it out of my mind, and then found out later, like, that's exactly what it is. And Pendleton has brought it back. So they sort of made, they make, like, an official one, because they made it originally the same pattern in, like, other colors, and the people who wanted them to bring back the sweater only wanted them to bring back, like, the brown and also brown sweater. And so they eventually did. So, like, I think it says something on their website about, like, this was not the sweater the Achievers wanted, I think is what it says when they tell the story of it. And I want to say there's also, like, a vest flavor available now. But, yeah, it was a very old sweater. And it is, I remember reading about it when, because it was sort of news when they brought it back, that it's inspired by a couch and sweaters from Pacific Northwest tribes. So...
yeah, because that was such a thing, I'd say, like, 80s and 90s, where mm-hmm. everyone had a sweater like that.
Yep. Except me, because I hated them.
Well, now's your chance. It's all right. Bound to come back in. I feel like that whole Knives Out incident, that has, like,
it
really...
changed a lot.
It does, but it also, like, kind of is bringing back a lot of that sort of classic sweater situation.
I'm just laughing that the Knives Out incident actually doesn't have anything to do with what the Knives Out incident is, which is why that was such a funny sentence to me. So there you go.
We are coming close to, like, a whole hour, so maybe we'll do, like, sort of a final round where we can all pick a last sweater or knitwear or something or anything to talk about. And cool. I will start with you, Amanda. We'll start in the same order.
Outlander. Oh, my goodness. So much knitwear in Outlander. And I love that mm-hmm. even though we're not in, I mean, season 5 and, you know, upcoming season 6 are not in Scotland anymore, they still kept knitwear pieces as part of the show. So there's quite a few. Claire wears cowls. She wears mittens and arm warmers and various neckwear pieces. They even have in the modern set episodes, she's still wearing knitted coats and hats. Like, it's just really cool. They even have there's a scene, I forgot which, in season 1 somewhere, where their women are walking the wool. It's just so cool. There's so many iconic Outlander outfits with wool. And also, I want to shout out, some men's knitwear in All Creatures Great and Small, the new reboot. Siegfried and Tristan have really cute knitwear. Siegfried wears, like, this really cute yellow sweater. Yellow is a color that actually works on my skin tone, so I'm like, And Tristan has this really cute red vest of, like, you know, the typical, like, shirt over the vest. It's just adorable. I love both of those things. Men's knitwear doesn't always
so
strike my fancy.
Period,
but
yeah.
Yeah, it's very, yeah, it's that All Creatures Great and Small. In the 1930s. So yeah, it's just very period and cute.
I had a sweater vest in the 80s. It was green. I love that thing. well, and I think we also, when we talked about Pole Dark, we were talking about there was some good knitwear in there too.
Actually, it's so funny. I went back in the screen caps. I noticed a lot of what we thought was knitwear was more pashmina style.
Oh, okay. So it's not knitwear.
Oh.
It's not knitwear. It's confusing. I was like, that's not fully, because I think it's, so oddly enough, with Outlander, a lot of people were saying Outlander was historically inaccurate for using knitwear because they didn't knit a lot of stuff in the 18th century other than socks, and they knitted on very thin needles. Apparently, like, the thick stuff came later. It's very It is very weird. Not to say knitting's been around for forever, but I mean, in terms of the style and, like, type,
yeah,
like, knitting would have been mostly for socks and stockings and occasionally hats, but not, like, sweaters, and yeah, it's just very strange. Like, they use more machine knitting. They would use more machine knitting for, like, certain things.
Oh, okay. Fascinating.
Yeah, it's a very... Going down that rabbit hole of, like, what is historically accurate in knitwear is just a lot. It's intense.
Well, the interesting thing is we make, a lot of assumptions about what people were doing, and we assume, like, it must be more modern that we could have done X. But really, they were doing a lot of things a lot sooner than you might expect. I really like Claire's, those scarves, and it's the same sort of thing where they have in Little Women, where you have the triangular scarf where they cross it over the front, and then it ties around in the back, and it's like sort of adding an extra layer around you underneath that you could wear as is, but also under a coat or something. It looks really comfy.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know there's a term for it, but I can't remember it now. I know the Scottish also don't know. Yeah.
But it also seems like a very particular sort of period piece, because it's not something we do these days.
Yeah, because you know what it was supposed to do? It was supposed to replace, in the 18th century, the women's dresses, they'd have these things called fichus, but those are often, like, pieces of cotton. So, like, a lot of times they use the knitwear to, like, cover that area. Like, some shawls and some, like, the triangular things. I know there's a term out there. I cannot remember at the time. Or the circular cowls. Like, those are always, there's a lot of those. It just kind of replaces that item.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now I'm going to turn things over to you, Erica. Do you have any last
choices? I do. If you scroll all the way down in our document that we're looking at, I have a dishonorable mention.
What?
For Fibercraft. I was tricked into watching the movie Zardoz for an episode of The Incomparable, the flagship show of our network. Glenn Fleischman tricked me into watching it. And this movie is bad on so many levels, but it's weird. Like, I'm not recommending anybody watch it, but if you do, it might ruin crocheted wear forever, just because of how weird this movie is. But also, like, it was, you know, about, like, this weird dystopian future where everybody's wearing knitwear and crochet, and I posted a couple of pictures to the people, and like one in particular is like this very small, very lacy, basically see-through waist and chest bearing little capelet sort of thing. Anyway, there's a lot of that sort of thing, lots of like crocheted bikini type things, and it's a lot, and it's like, don't watch the movie, just look at some of the pictures. I'm sure Annette will put some links in the show notes, but
she's basically wearing nothing.
The hair, oh my gosh, the 70s hair, where they tried to make it look futuristic, but it really isn't. It's just a mess.
Yeah, everything about Zardoz, it's from 1974.
Oh.
And it stars, I mean, the picture that most people know of from Zardoz is Sean Connery basically wearing a
coat
red
and
bikini
a smile.
Bottom and a smile and like these weird like straps. It's not great. Anyway, no. So that's, I just, because I was trying to think of, oh, pop culture and knitwear and like, I'm, you know, trying to think of like cool Doctor Who stuff and sweaters. And then in like a splinter in my mind pops in the weird crocheted bikinis from Zardoz. So I apologize to everyone, but I had to bring it up. And basically this is catharsis right now. That's all it is.
They're kind of amazing though, even though it's terrible. And I'm looking at these pictures going like, what is this movie? I should probably not watch it, but also should, because it looks so bad.
You'll need
it's
a lot of
It's incomprehensible material at best.
Yeah.
At best.
Or it's probably was, I'm guessing it was a rocket surgery, which is...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When our parent show looks at movies that are not so good.
That's certainly a description, yeah.
So, yeah, that's my contribution. Again, I'm sorry.
I'm not, because that's like sort of hilarious. Not even sort of. It just
it's
is.
Hilarious.
It's hilarious. Yeah. Kelly.
Well, the one I was going to bring was going to be the dude sweater from The Big Lebowski. Because that was like, that's one that I remember a lot. Mostly, like I said, I grew up not far from there, from Pendleton. So like Pendleton blankets and Pendleton shirts and all of that is just sort of part of the landscape of my early years, and so like it was just always sort of a thing that everybody had, you know, and
So like seeing it in a movie was sort of a trip, like even at the time, to look at it and be like, that looks like a very familiar sweater. And I probably knew someone when I was a kid, because I think the original sweater's from like the 70s. I probably knew someone with that sweater or one very much like it growing up, because it was just, you know, if you needed a sweater, you were going to go get a Pendleton sweater, because Pendleton makes a bunch of warm stuff and that's just how it works. And so that was going to be one of mine. And then the house scarf, which we already talked about, because that is one of the few larger knitting projects that I have attempted and then also finished. I have a couple of other bigger things that I have yet to finish. And they're probably nearing a similar age to Erica's fingerless gloves.
Are you really like a crafter if you don't have like a project that's at least 10 years plus in the making?
Truth.
Yeah, I'm not sure you are, actually. So I would say then, yes, that's totally the case.
I am going to bring up something that a listener brought to my attention and say Schitt's Creek. And is because, like, I'm going to say David, most of all, mm-hmm. he has, they're all machine made sweaters. Also, many of them high end. I'm assuming I'm not so cool that I understand fashion at that level. But he usually is wearing like these fabulous, comfy sweaters, often with shorts, and has a very distinctive look. But many of his sweaters, probably they're black or black and gray and white. Yes. But he just has a distinct look and I sort of love it. And I would wear them even though I probably wouldn't wear them with shorts.
I appreciate you getting the CanCon in here.
Yeah, we got to get a little CanCon.
I did love all of his sweaters. They were like every one of his outfits looked completely ridiculous and yet 100% David, which I thought was just sort of like, I don't know how they managed it with such a variety of sweaters. But yeah, every one of them was always interesting in some way. It was like his wardrobe and Moira's wardrobe were their own characters also on the program.
Yeah, and I think it was someone, it showed him as someone who just was comfortable with himself. Also, I really liked that they reused pieces, mm-hmm. considering the whole goal of the show is showing a rich family who was no longer had money. Therefore, he's not going to be wearing a new sweater every season. Single day, but you would see some of those pieces come up again and again and again in the 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I liked that about the show, too.
Yeah, it was always fun to see what he was going to wear. And then when stuff started making repeat appearances, like, well, what's he wearing with it this time? Like became sort of another fun game to play.
And I think that we will now wrap this up here, but of course send us your favorites. We want to know about them. And maybe someday Kelly and I will get our other podcast off the ground.
Send us your votes for what we should talk about on that podcast. Yes.
Yes, but we will be back again with another episode with something else that we love or about love and romance soon. Thank you for joining me, Amanda.
Thank you. It was fun to talk about knitwear. It's like, especially now it's getting colder and I'm at that like season where I'm like, what I want to make, you know?
Yeah. By the way, I appreciate that to know another winter knitter, because some people are like, oh, people who don't knit all year round. I almost only knit in the winter because it feels more cozy. So mm-hmm. Winter knitters unite.
Yay.
And thank you for joining me, Erica.
Thank you. Yeah, I am also a winter knitter. So high five.
Yes.
Yay.
And thank you, Kelly, for coming along.
Thanks so much for having me. This was a really good time. I occasionally knit in the off season, but primarily a winter knitter.
Yeah, I feel like it's reasonably common. It's just sometimes too hot to knit in the summer. I don't know.
I just work on smaller stuff. Like,
I don't want to sweat all over my yarn.
I'm going to make a dishcloth out of cotton or linen or something instead. So yeah. That's usually how I get around it, if I really want to.
And so then we will be back again with another episode soon. And until then, stay safe, agents. Agents of Smooch is part of the Incomparable Network. If you are enjoying our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the Smooch Agency, you can become a member of The Incomparable at theincomparable.com/members. Members can choose to support us and any other shows on the network, and you get extra perks like hanging out in the members-only Slack channel, and bonus content such as our growing list of incomprehensible Agents of Smooch tipsy commentaries. Thank you for listening. Your next mission will be coming to you soon.